Thank you for coming out and braving this Jaguar traffic, you good souls. And not only have you braved the traffic, but now we have to brave a really, really incredible and scary parable. This parable terrifies me. I don't know about you. What scares me about it is not only that this guy is tormented in flames for all eternity, but what really scares me is this chasm, this gap between hell and heaven, where you can't cross over. But let's start at the beginning. There is a rich man who, interestingly, never has a name. All we know is that he's got a lot of stuff, and he likes purple. And he eats good food every day. And he wears linen, which back in Israel in that time was really the good stuff, because it was beautiful and light and easy to wear in the heat. So this rich man has a good life. But there is a beggar that lies at the gate of his estate on the ground. And the beggar does have a name. Lazarus. Now, I am sure that because Lazarus lies at the gate of this man's estate, that the rich man has to pass him at least once or twice a day, going to and from his house, unless there is another gate, and so he can avoid Lazarus entirely. But presumably, he passes by every day and doesn't see Lazarus as a person, doesn't do anything, just walks on by. And in the parable, Jesus describes Lazarus with kind of this graphic description. He has sores all over his body, and the dogs lick the sores. Almost too much information, right? So already we see on this earth a gap. Because the rich man does not see or connect or interact at all with Lazarus. For him, Lazarus is not human. He is just there, like a piece of furniture. When Lazarus dies, he's taken up to heaven by the angels. When the rich man dies, it doesn't say how he gets there, but he's buried and he ends up tormented. But the thing that I find so interesting is once they are in their eternal state, that's when you get a sense of the character of this rich man, and he's not a bad guy. When he's in torment, he doesn't scream about injustice. He doesn't order people to get him out of this mess. He makes a very, very reasonable request. And we don't know how, but by the time he ends up in Hades, he knows Lazarus's name. Did he know Lazarus's name on earth but never use it? We don't know. But the rich man, in his torment, can see paradise, which makes the torment even worse. Here he is in his torment, and he can see heaven, but he can't get there. But instead of saying, I want somebody to get me up there or come and rescue me from this mess, all he says is, Father Abraham, which is a term of great respect, could you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue? He's not asking for a jumbo-sized Coca-Cola or anything. He's not asking for a swim. He's not asking to get out of hell entirely. He's just asking for a little dip of water on his tongue. Like when you have someone in the hospital and they've had surgery. Hey, sweetie. Micah. When someone's in the hospital and they have surgery, and all they can tell you to do is put a little bit of ice on their tongue, that's all he's asking for, just a tiny bit of relief. And Abraham responds out of love. He says to the rich man, "Child, there is a chasm that exists between me and you, and I cannot cross over to you. I cannot cross over to you, and you cannot cross over to me. There is this great gap." So what is Jesus trying to tell us? I mean, even as an Episcopalian, I have to admit, this is scary. This is a picture of eternal life where there's no redemption. Once you're in hell, you're in hell. Now, Jesus, of course, talks in other places about his great love, and all we need to do is ask, and he will give. But in this parable, I think he's trying to shake us up a bit, to tell us that how we relate to other human beings is vastly important for our salvation. Now, who's going to heaven and who's going to hell is God's job, right? That is God's job to determine that, not ours. Whenever we try to do that, we make a big mess, right? But I think Jesus is telling us here that if you pass by another human being who is suffering and don't even interact with them, don't think of them as human, you hurt your soul. And there are so many gaps on this earth. Look at our cities right now. We're being torn apart. We can't see one another as human beings. Jesus is saying, no matter how someone offends you, no matter how smelly they are, no matter whether their words you don't like, how they look, I still want you to see them as a person. Bridge the gap. Come to them, say their name, find out who they are. Even if you can't get along with them at all, bridge the gap. Bridge the gap. Whenever we see one another as not human, that is when the horrible injustices of this world occur. Yesterday, we had a very, very hard funeral here of a young woman who took her own life. And we talked about it, and it was so hard. And we tried to surround her family with love, but I left walking to my car just feeling at a loss. And this woman came walking by, and she was just swearing at the top of her lungs, just one thing after another. Some words I don't think I had ever really heard before. And she looked like she had been sleeping on the street, and she just didn't smell good. And of course, her speech was completely offensive in every way. And she was holding a plastic little child's book, the kind that you get at McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. And she came up to me just yelling, and I said, "Honey, if you want me to listen to you, you've got to cut it out with those swear words. I can't even hear what you're trying to say." And she said, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going off." And then she went off a little bit more. But as she was going on and on, she told me that she had this book that she had gotten, And as the people were coming out of the church, she saw a beautiful little girl. And she said, I wanted to give her the book. I offered it to her. I had it from me to her. I was giving it to her, and she didn't want it. She turned away and said no. But I wanted to give it to her, and I had it for her, and I was going to give it to her. Oh, I said, that must have hurt your feelings. Yeah, she said, I got my heart broke today. And then she just looked at me and said, thanks for listening, and walked on by. In Starbucks, sometimes I'll go early in the morning, and there's always the same man sitting on this little table with his laptop. He always gets $1 and puts it in a glass, and they fill up his mug with hot water, and he brings a tea bag. He's always there. No matter how early I get there, he's there. So one day I said, tell me your name. And he said, Dirk. We got to talking, and it turns out Dirk is homeless, but he's so clean, and he's always working on his laptop. I thought he was maybe writing a newspaper or something. We got to talking, and Dirk has all kinds of theories about how the government needs to be redone and how homeless shelters are corrupt, and I can't really understand his reasoning at all. But I like seeing him. I just like saying, hi, Dirk, whenever I go there. And he says hi to Kate, and he doesn't ask me for anything. I want to commend you all because you come here into the urban core to church, which means you don't run away from Lazarus. It means that you have the courage to go through that gate and stop and look and talk. And it's hard to talk to Lazarus sometimes. Sometimes Lazarus, all Lazarus does is ask us for money, right? And I don't give out cash anymore. That doesn't work. But we've got to keep on talking to each other. We've got to ask each other our names. We got to sometimes just dare to sit down next to somebody and let them cry. Like the drunk man that I heard just cry and cry and cry a couple weeks ago on the side bench here. And it's scary, and we have to be careful, and we have to be safe. But I think what Jesus is telling us is if we don't bridge the gap here and talk to the people who are so different from us, that we will never make this world work. Never. And I know you can't fix all the world's problems, and neither can I. I know we can't cure poverty. Gosh, last week we heard about 250 million untouchables in India who are struggling. But what you can do is when Lazarus is right in your path, you can look at him. You can talk to him. You can ask him his name. You can bridge the gap. You can bridge the gap. Do you know that the Holy Trinity, that concept of God, it's all about relationship? That God is a relationship of love. And whenever we relate to another human being, God is there. And whenever we don't relate to a human being and we pretend they're not there, that tears at the very fabric of who God intends us to be. So walk out into the urban core, into this crazy world, and just dare to look and talk to those that are different. Bridge the gap. Love at the core. And God is there. Amen.